I still remember how it felt the very first time I listened to music. It was actually really enjoyable. Wait, what did you all think I was going to say? What's going on, everyone? I hope you're all having a great week, and welcome to another episode of The Cusp. This is Encore, and alongside Tony and Tom, we present a episode today that is, you know, slightly provocative, banter-filled, and a lot of fun. We're talking about music, and we dive into how music has shaped our childhoods, what genres we were initially attracted to and how that's changed, some of the trends in music listening, such as, you know, when we were kids in the late 90s and early 2000s, it was all CDs, it was LimeWire and Napster, but nowadays we have Spotify and Apple Music. And so how has that changed the average listener's relationship to music? We dive into things like playlists and albums, and we even talk about how social media has changed the music listening atmosphere. We hope you enjoy the episode, and you know, if you're enjoying the podcast, as always, we recommend sharing it with your friends and following us on social at The Cusp Pod. Now, to start today's conversation, we dive into the topic, what is your first and earliest memory of music as a kid?
I don't think you can guess. So I'll give you the timeline. I was 10 years old. So this was like 2006. And I remember I listened to this song and I was like, I like what I'm listening to. I should
Pump It, Black Eyed Peas.
No. Good guess, but no. I remember I listened to it and I had to like get a, I think we were using MP3 files on the phone at that time. So I had to get that MP3 file. I was like, I like this. I'm going to get more songs and keep listening to them.
Candy Shop.
No, it wasn't Candy Shop. It was a
band. Candy Shop. Everyone, when I was a kid, told me that Candy Shop was a dirty song, and I didn't get it until I got older. And then I realized, oh, that's what he meant by the lollipop. Okay.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what it was. Maybe I don't know. I got it earlier on.
What is it about Encore?
You know. I don't know if I want to elaborate on the pod.
Anyway, Tom.
But Tom, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to guess it. But it was Coldplay, Clocks by Coldplay.
Well, that's a great song.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that does.
Why?
you're like a Clocks by Coldplay kind of guy.
Yeah, especially in 2006,
sure.
Yeah, 10-year-old Tom. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, and I mean, I might get heat from some people for saying this, but Coldplay is pretty good. Like, they're actually
Coldplay gets a lot of hate. I actually really like Coldplay
as
well.
It's unwarranted. Like, I agree. Why do you have to hate Coldplay?
Well, I guess, don't people give them hate because some of their songs are kind of, like, basic?
Sure.
But, I don't know. But like, they hate you.
There's not many artists out there that don't have some songs that fall into basicness. You know,
which artist produces like truly original songs each time? Like the next song doesn't sound like the previous song, doesn't sound like the previous song.
The person that came to mind when you said that was Frank Ocean for sure. I mean, every album is different. Like every song is original. He always innovates the genre. Yeah, I mean, like that. I feel like that guy's, and I think that's part of the reason he stand out. You don't know what you're gonna get on a Frank Ocean album, but he always delivers. Like it's always good.
Yeah, another fun fact is like "Lost" by Frank Ocean is the oldest song on my phone. It's always just been in my library. I don't know why.
You know, and for a long time, I think like we could have like, this might be controversial too, but we could have given this title to Kanye too, because like all the albums he was putting out were innovative. They were definitely changed. Like he was changing his style from album to album, but and you know he still is, but I don't know if his like more recent albums are like works of genius or not, you know.
They're not. Spoiler alert, they're not. I'm dying. No.
I don't know. When next do we think he's gonna win a Grammy?
Yeah. I don't think he's winning one again.
I think it's done. I think he pissed away his chances.
Yeah.
All right, Uncle, what was your awakening song? The first song you remember?
So I think my relationship with music is really interesting in the sense that there is a relationship that I actually don't even remember and the relationship that I do. And the relationship I don't remember, so my parents told me this. When I was when I was a really little kid, there's two things that I liked. I was really fat, so I liked to eat, and I always liked to listen to music, right? And so my grandpa, and this is back in the 90s, my grandpa bought me one of those CD disc players. Like, he bought me a CD disc player that I listened to on the plane, and apparently I would just listen to
Hindi. A Walkman?
Yeah, a Walkman. Yes. Sorry, I forgot the term, but yes, a Walkman. And I would listen to that on the plane from Nepal to the States, and wherever I went, I would just listen to my Walkman. I don't remember any of this, but apparently I was really into the tunes back then. But my actual earliest memory of, or at least most impactful memory of early music was actually shaped by my brother. Because when we were in the state, when we were in Toronto, when I first moved to Canada, I lived in Toronto. We lived in Thorncliffe Park, super immigrant heavy neighborhood. My brother was hanging around some peeps who really got him into hip hop. And this was back when 50 Cent and Eminem were big. So I remember that I knew all the lyrics to In the Club and all the lyrics to Lose Yourself at 6 years old. And my brother and I would rap along to these lyrics with each other, and we'd look at the lyric sheets. This is back before Rap Genius, and we had LimeWire music, and we would put it on little MP3 players like that. And we had a boombox. We had a family boombox that we'd use with CDs. We had CDs back in the day with the Eminem Show and 50 Cent. So yeah, my earliest memories that I can actually remember are early 2000s hip hop of Eminem and 50 Cent and those CDs.
You just reminded me of something too. I remember even earlier than Clocks. Clocks was the first song I actually liked listening to. But even before then, I remember my mom will have cassettes, right? That you have to rewind and all that kind of stuff. And it'd be gospel music that you hear on a Sunday morning when you have to clean the house, right? And then we went from that to the Walkman, from the Walkman to CDs and MP3 players, and then LimeWire. I remember the LimeWire days, my goodness.
Oh yeah.
and then Spotify and streaming. And
that nah, really... torrents. I don't think LimeWire is torrenting, is it? I think that's a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's legal. I don't think it was legal.
Yeah, the cops are listening. I did not use LimeWire. I did not torrent. Hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, no, LimeWire was interesting. Did any of you use what's that one called? Napster? What was it called?
Oh yeah, Napster. Yeah. FreeMP3s.com, whatever it was.
FreeMP3s.com for sure, 100%.
Yeah. Tony, what about you, man?
Yeah, man. I mean, I definitely use Napster. I remember LimeWire a lot more though. I think I got into music when LimeWire was on the way out. I distinctly remember. My dad coming home when I think I was in grade 7 with this music player, because he didn't want to buy me a MP3 that's too costly, right? So he got me this from an Indian convenience store, this this music player that held 10 songs. And I definitely remember, because I've played the drums in the past, and I was trying to learn songs where I could just that had good drummer and were still interesting to listen to. So my first music experience was American Idiot, the album by Green Day.
Nice.
Super classic. Nice. Gnarly.
Oh my goodness.
And yeah, great, great album. And then I think I don't think I was on one though about Green Day. I'd listen to it, I'd be like, whoa, this is good music. But and I'm sure you've all experienced this. There is a difference between listening to music and then achieving the point where you have enough cognitive ability as a kid where you're like, wow, this music has impacted me. Mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you, Ankur, I think the first time I remember two albums from, it would have been 2011 or 2012, so grade 7, grade 8, that I distinctly remember having this impact. So the first one was Recovery by Eminem.
That was 2010.
Yeah, okay, so it would have been out then for like 1 or 2 years, but I got into it and I was so angsty at the time. I was like, this guy gets me, bro. Like, but of course, like, not at all.
Anyone who's heard that album will relate.
Yeah. And I was like, I understand what it's like to recover from a hard drug addiction. Yeah, you know, I'm sipping my apple juice. Not afraid is about social studies. But the second album is Rise Against Endgames. Rise Against is like a punk rock band. And I think, like, I don't know, like, it still is a banger to me. I still really like the album. Mm. Recovery, you know, I like it not as much as I used to. but Endgame, still great. Still great.
So this actually raises a good topic that I kind of want to segue to. And that topic is, like, what kind of genres did you initially get into? And what do you think shaped your rationale for getting into those genres? Like, was it what your friends were listening to? Was it what your parents were listening to? And, like, what was it for you guys?
It sounds like Tony and I were angsty teenagers listening to, like, rock bands. I don't know. I like Coldplay maybe because I feel like Coldplay was a deeper thing. I liked it because they were a British band. And at that time in my life, I always wanted to go to England. Mm. So I feel like that was just one, like, personal reason. But genres that
was that, Tom? Why did you want to go to England back then? Was it kind of like that Arsenal fandom or what's going on?
Yeah, Arsenal fandom. I was born there. It just I don't know. I just really resonated with it, and I thought of it as home, and I loved, like, the vacations my family and I used to take there earlier on in my life. So something was always drawing me back, right? So the music was like my like connection to go back. And then I also like grime for that same reason probably as well. Mm. But I think earlier on, like, genres that I listened to, heavily influenced by Afrobeats because I grew up in Nigeria, so Afrobeats is king even to this day. I'll listen to Afrobeats. In fact, I got the other day Spotify told me that I'm Burna Boy's top 3% listeners or something globally. Wow. I was like, yeah, I see it. So no, Afrobeats definitely because of where I grew up, and then some British music like grime and British rock because of that affinity that I had for England.
Right. So just before we get to us, I just had a little bit of a follow-up here. Because I know you came to Canada when you were, what, like 16, I think, yeah. Right? 16?
Yeah.
I think in a previous episode, you talked about how people just assumed you'd like Kanye West or assumed you'd like North American hip-hop when you arrived.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious as to, like, the culture clash between you being like, yo, you guys listen to Burna Boy? And people are like, who the fuck is Burna Boy?
And now look at us now, right? Now Burna Boy is killing the stage, killing everything, and everyone is listening to that. No, it's funny because again, I like rap, no doubt, but like not as religiously as people think I do, just because I'm black. And I vividly remember the memory when I think Jay-Z's newest album came out sometime in 2014, maybe, and this white guy in my class came up to me and was like, "Hey, Tom, you listen to that newest Jay-Z album?" And before I could say like no, he just started rapping the song in front of me, and I was like, "Dude, I don't know what you're talking about."
Did he say the N-word too? Like, did he rap the N-word in front of you too? Like, you guys were bros? Because that would have been too much.
No, there's definitely some dudes like that, and I'm just like, man, I like some of his songs, not all of his songs, but yeah, that still happens once in a while.
Interesting. Damn, what about you, Tony?
Yeah, Tony.
Yeah, I feel like initially, sure. I mean, my social environment definitely impacted the music I was listening to. But like, again, like when I got into the angsty music, I was just like more of a embracing my individuality kind of a thing. Rise Against was like the first band where I was like, I'm a fan of this band, and like I would buy tickets to their concert. Like, my South Asian parents would let me go to a punk rock concert. I think the reason like that album stood out to me was kind of because they were talking about things that I wouldn't hear on the radio or from like my peers or even from my teachers. Like Rise Against is a really like activist band. And you know, at the time, this is like 2011 or 2012. And we've had this discussion on like the previous pod, but I really feel like at least my childhood was kind of defined by 9/11 and like the fallout and the reaction North Americans had to brown people, right? And so when I was like grade 7 or grade 8 or grade 9, I was like, I'm against the wars, end the wars. Wow. And Rise Against was like a super anti-war punk rock band, you know, like screw the establishment. Like right now, like their recent albums are about climate change. So I feel like I really resonated with that. Like not to make it about political or social issues, but that kind of is like was my personality at the time and still does define me. So and I think it's probably the reason I'm more attracted to certain artists today. So Unk, where you turned me on to Frank Ocean like a year and a half ago, I was shamefully late to the party. Shamefully late.
A year and a half ago?
It's a big tent. Welcome
2018.
It's not like I hadn't heard Frank Ocean before.
2019.
Like I heard Nikes, I'd heard songs. But I didn't listen to a Frank Ocean album. I hadn't sat down and like listened to Blonde, right? Like I hadn't had that experience. And then Encore was like, hey, yo man, you should listen to Nostalgia Ultra, which is like I think
classic.
I think it's like the most easily accessible Frank Ocean album. Because like I would, if I tried listening to Chanel, I'd be like, okay, this is like kind of dense. Like it's hard to get into unless like you have some kind of like familiarity with Frank Ocean and his music style. But Nostalgia Ultra is not. And I loved it. It's one of my favorite albums, you know, ever. And then I was like, okay, let's listen to the rest of this guy. And I feel like Frank Ocean talks about his experience and like, in a like emotionally mature and complex way that I appreciate. And I think, I feel like that's what makes, you know, good songs, great songs. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we're attracted to rap, like Unkur and I so much is because like, I remember having this argument in English class in high school with my teacher about I was basically saying like, hey, rap is just poetry, like modern day poetry. That's all it is. Like, and if you think it isn't, and if you're dismissing this art form, you're just, you know, one of the people that was telling Shakespeare he was being wacky, you know, when he was writing his plays. Like, that's all you are. You're just like suppressing a new wave of social expression. And like, she just didn't get that at all. She's like, no, there's a difference. Like Shakespeare's art, rap is trash. Like,
yeah.
And you know, I mean, everyone's entitled to their perspective. I think that's like very wrong and probably indicates some kind of bias, but
no,
yeah.
Initially going back to how I got into genres, for me, it was what my brother was listening to. Because, you know, when I was a younger kid, I was really influenced by my older brother when I was young, and he was listening to a lot of rap and alternative rock. And so the first two genres I got into were rap and alternative rock. And then I really fell in love with rap, I think, in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, where I would go back through albums and like listen through full albums deeply. And I think this connects to your point, Tony. I would listen to the lyricism and I would try to, I don't remember if Rap Genius was out. Yeah, I think Rap Genius was out. But I would like try to go up and be like, what is the rapper saying? Like, what does this metaphor mean? Why does he put this here? What is this double entendre? Like, I learned all these things about politics, about society, about literature through rap. And I was like, yo, this is so cool. But the social conscious matter in your lyrics, like, do you specifically resonate with certain artists that have a social message? And let's just get into that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I really think it depends on the genre, right? Because as I said, like rap, rock, like for sure. I mean, the social message is why I'm listening. EDM though, I mean, not really.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think that the reason you listen to EDM is because it's like, I don't have to pay full attention. I can just kind of get lost in the sauce, right? Like, I'm not trying to think. Whereas if I'm listening to like Biggie, I'm like, I need to hear this guy. He's preaching, like, you know. So it really depends, right? Glitch Mob doesn't preach, you know. They just you know, beep boop bop, you know, and then you're in the mosh pit.
My go ahead.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Is that why people like mumble rappers then? That's the one I don't understand.
So here's my theory on it though. Like, I think people compartmentalize in the sense that, like, so for example, I have different favorite artists for different moods, right? Like, if I'm turning up, I don't want to listen to like a deep Kendrick album, right? Because that's just not the vibe that I'm in. But if I'm like, I don't know, like I'm going on a walk and I want to contemplate life, or I want to get into a deep body of work, almost like a novel or a good movie, yeah, put a Kendrick album on. Let's listen to his life story. Let's try to break down what he's trying to do. Let's listen to the beats, right? But there's times when I'm like, yo, I just want to work out, or I just want to party, or I just want to have something that I can focus to, that I can work to. And for those different things, perhaps social conscience isn't as important. But there are times when it is. So I think for me, it's very like scenario dependent, where like, there's times when I really want that. There's times when I want J. Cole. There's times when I want Kendrick. There's times when I want a more socially conscious message. And then there's times where I'm like, I want to turn that part off and just dance.
And just, so like, I get that, but have you heard Young Thug?
There's something like hype about trash lyrics too. Like, that's the thing, right?
Do you even hear what he says?
This song is a great example.
So I'm not actually.
I'm thinking of Lifestyle right now. Like, that's the song in my head. Lifestyle. That's all I think about. Like, no, I don't know.
I think here's a great example of a song that was a hit. I feel like, at least personally, I got lit listening to this song. I was very hyped. But it's trash, and I don't relate to it lyrically, like, at all. So it's Gucci Gang by Lil Pump. Huge song back in the day. And I feel like this is a great example, right? I don't own Gucci, you know? I own Tommy Hilfiger. You know, I wish I owned Gucci. I don't relate to the song at all. I don't get anything from its lyrics. But, you know, it's just, like, great for that. And I mean, we're just getting into, like, subgenres now, which is like a huge component of this. You know, there's some rappers I'm going to listen to just as like a throwaway, like, hey, I'm driving somewhere, like, I'll turn this rapper on, it'll get me hype as I'm driving to this place. And there's others that are like more of a transcendent experience. That's true in EDM, right? So when I want to chill out, I'm listening to Tropical House. I'm not listening to Skrillex. I've never listened to Skrillex, but as an example.
Yeah. No, I get it. And I think that's also, you and I have had this discussion before, I think on the pod as well. It's a reflection of the maturity of a genre. So hip hop and rap as a genre has matured since its like earlier roots in the 70s and 80s, right? So we don't just have like boom bap, New York style 80s rap anymore. We have a whole bunch of subgenres. And as a result, perhaps the most popular subgenre is just something that you're not going to mess with. And that's all right.
I guess back to my question, what do we think are the music genres that are going to have their trends in the future? Or is that just like impossible to predict?
Pretty impossible to predict, man. I wonder, like, what do you think influences that? Like, is it the time of the, like, that we're living through? For example, post, like you were talking earlier, Tony, about how, you know, you grew up in the post 9/11 world and that affected the kind of music you listened to and what resonated with you. I wonder if it's like massive world events that will determine the kind of genre
like
that people
like COVID-19,
like,
right?
Like COVID-19, yeah. So maybe COVID-19 hits, people are all at home, they need something to hype them up. I don't know, maybe TikTok songs are the things that will take over. I don't know.
So actually, that's a great point. That's kind of what I wanted to touch on. Like, we're talking about what influences the popularity of music. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the impact of social media trends and social media on music. And a great example is TikTok. If I think about all the songs of the summer, right? There's a strong correlation between the songs that are most popular and the songs that are used in TikTok videos. 100%. A great example of that is Stunning. So Stunning is that song by Curtis Waters. This guy puts the song out, and because it's used in all those, like, you know, outfit videos, it just helps the song blow up, right?
Not just, yeah, it's Stunning. There's,
that's a lot of the Roxanne. Like, was like a big one, I think, that blew up on TikTok. Roses, I think, was another one.
The Don't Rush challenge as well. That song blew
Bella Ciao. I saw a lot of TikToks of Bella Ciao.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I wonder, like, in fact, to your point, like, even because I use Spotify, right? And I listen to music through Discover Weekly and all of that. But the songs that I physically, like, search for and then save, a lot of times I've heard on Instagram at the background of a video, and I'm like, oh, I like that song. And I check the comments to see who's going to tell me what song it is. And it's usually the first or second comment tells you what song it is. And then I download it. That has happened to me at least once or twice a week.
Yeah, and I feel like social media is like one facet of like technology overall, which I think really impacts music. So EDM is a great example. The reason EDM music wasn't big in the 70s is because the tech wasn't there to, like, create it, as far as I know. So it's going to be interesting, like, is GarageBand going to, like, like lead the music industry? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think we'd also be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that – so I think there's a couple trends that have shaped music in our lifetime, right? The first one, I think, is the access to the internet and the fact that artists can just put out their content through websites and blow up. Two examples of that are like Drake's So Far Gone from his website and that blowing up, and Chance the Rapper, who is put out his music on an independent label and that blew up. Another thing that we need to talk about that I think is really interesting is music listening has changed. So I grew up and I gave you guys the background, my first like formative music listening experience was listening to the full albums of 50 Cent, Eminem, just like full albums from front to back, right? So that's how I connected music. I was like, I like to listen to albums front to back. I like to judge bodies of work. But I'll talk to a person like my sister who grew up in the Spotify era or grew up in the Apple Music era, and all the ways that they listen to music is through playlists or through individual songs. And I guess two questions to you guys. One, have you noticed this kind of like rift as well? And two, are you more of an album person or like a playlist person? Or because it kind of depend.
Sure. I mean, I first of all, I think I'm a playlist person. Not because I don't appreciate albums. Like, there are some unreal albums out there that you need to listen to front to end to really have like the full experience. But Spotify is just like so convenient, right? Like I use Spotify, so it's just so convenient. You have like the little fade in, fade out between songs. Like it's great. And you know, like I don't even think it's just the mediums. Kind of interrelated to your point about the internet is globalism. So I know a lot of people that are K-pop fans. I mean, I think if they grew up in like the 1980s, they wouldn't be, largely because like, where are you going to get like a K-pop album? Like, are you going to get a Korean music album at like Blockbuster? I don't know where you would even buy them like from back in the day, a record store.
Right.
So I feel like just having open access to like the world's music rather than just like what's available in your geographic area was like a huge game changer. And so I feel like it's created these like little niches where I don't know, but I feel like if you met someone back in like the 80s, you could probably guess what they listened to. It's like one of three genres. Whereas now people listen to like like random, really different stuff, random
distinct
stuff.
Things. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I love about my Spotify as well. I love it when like I can find an independent artist that no one has ever heard of, play it while we're driving, and everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, Sean, what's this banger?" I'm like, "Yeah, you don't know. I found this person." I'm like, I'm a producer now. But no, like I checked my library recently actually, and I think I have, out of the last like 50 or so songs I downloaded, like 30 of them are from no name people I would never have listened to if it wasn't for like Spotify and Discover Weekly, right?
That algorithm.
Yeah, I mean, that algorithm is bomb as hell. But I like it. I genuinely listen to a lot of new people and a lot of these independent artists, and I think it's because I don't know about you guys, but I grew up with a lot of people that wanted to enter the music industry. Like,
really?
Yeah, from
tell me about this. I have none of this. I have like maybe 2-3 like trash SoundCloud rappers from my high school, but like that's about it. So
you have two or three. I know, like, I'm thinking when I was in grade 7, so my school was like grade 7 to grade 11. I think in every grade I knew at least 3 or 4 people that wanted to be musicians. And to be fair to them, I think like 60-70% of them have kept at it. A few of them have mildly blown up, a few of them not really. But again, what I find interesting is that one time on my Discover Weekly, I was listening to this song, and it was this dude I went to high school with.
Wow.
And he was he's now an independent artist, and his song made it to my Discover Weekly. So I was like, you know, streaming, as much as it hurts the big guys, is really allowing way more people to enter the profession, which I think is
great. This is really interesting.
He's like browsing podcasts on Spotify. He's like, oh, the cusp, interesting.
He's letting us blow up too.
Set a plug.
Yeah. I was shook when that happened.
Why do you think that is? Like, what was it like? Did you go to a particular school? Like, were you in like a school of like music and the arts?
No, I don't know. Maybe it's just the circles that I moved in, but literally, like, I know a ton of people that wanted to go into music, a ton of people that wanted to be rappers. Maybe it's the environment. Maybe it's like some people thought that's the best way to make success in Nigeria. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not easy to like get a, you know, go to university, get a good job and all of that. People just saw this as a quick way to become successful. I don't know. It could be a culture thing.
Interesting.
Do you think it's harder to be a musician today than it was before? Or do you think there's like not really an appreciable difference for the average musician?
I feel like, okay, maybe some people might hate me for this, but I feel like it's easier, right? Like you need to get a laptop, download GarageBand or AutoTunes, and before you know it, you can publish a song in like the same day. You don't have to find a label.
Okay.
You don't have to find a
producer. I should have clarified. I mean like a successful musician. Like someone who's put a song.
I think it's both. I think barriers to access are lower than they've ever been, in the sense that you can now, like Tom said, use something like GarageBand, buy a mic for fairly cheap, just start recording stuff, start putting content out there, and use free tools like social media to promote yourself. So barriers to access are pretty cheap. But at the same time, I think we are now consuming audio content at a level that we never have before. And we think about this too, like when we promote our podcast, we think about the fact that like, all the people that are listening have a set amount of hours every day they listen to content, right? And they probably have preferences for what kind of content they have during those hours. So for example, maybe during work, they want to listen to music. Maybe on their commutes, they want to listen to podcasts, right? The more difficult part now, I think, about being a successful musician, successful podcaster, whatever, is to get a consistent part of somebody's ear and to get a consistent part of somebody's listening patterns.
Because
I think while it's been easier to put content out, I think it's harder to stand out.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why a lot of artists have started to reduce how long their songs are, right? We don't get, usually back in the day, songs used to go up to 5 minutes, even up to 10 minutes. Now it's like 2.5. That's like the optimal time, or the algorithm kind of messes you up, right? That's another interesting development. So streaming is not just changing what we're listening to, but like even the way artists produce their music.
But as far as I know, I mean, I think artists get the most, like most of their personal income from touring, right? So, I mean, if you can still establish that fan base, I think it's fine. I guess my question would be whether they're still getting, like, they're still, because look, I think we're kind of past the era of there being like super stardom to like the same extent as it is. Like, I'm not denying that like Taylor Swift or Drake or like these people are insanely famous. They are. They're like world icons, right? But are they Michael Jackson? I don't know. Like,
why do you think that is? Do you think it's because the individual accessibility of any given artist to any given person now, like we talked about, because of globalization? So you're basically, even an icon is facing more competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably part of it. I think there's other ways of monetizing now. So I'd be really interested in seeing how much income like Drake gets in versus what Michael Jackson made, right? Like, I would actually bet Drake has more money. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say.
Well, I think that's a double-edged sword, because what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what you're saying is because there's so many artists now that any individual person can listen to, one individual artist may not reach the superstardom of somebody like Michael Jackson or like the Beatles, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's tempting for us to like say it was better the other way or this way. Like, I don't think we can say. I mean, here's an example. So I think I read this somewhere, but Radiohead put out their first song, like one of their first albums, and on it was Creep, which is like a song I'm sure all of us have heard, Creep by Radiohead. And yeah, it didn't blow up for like 2 years, right? Like, it actually didn't make the billboards until 2 years after its release. But the reason it ended up making the charts is because this one Israeli radio station played it like nonstop for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Be like, wow, this is like a banger. Like, people should listen to this. And then like people would come to Israel and be like, wow, this is a great song on like my taxi's radio. What is this song? And then they'd take it back to their home country. And then it blew up like 2 years later. And so you look at that story and you're like, that wouldn't happen today. So that's kind of sad, right? Like, that almost certainly wouldn't happen today. But then, like, you look at Dance Monkey. Is that the song? Dance Monkey. And yeah, I think like Tones and I wrote it. And like, another great example, she wrote it like years ago. And the reason it blew up in 2020 is because of TikTok, and it was used in like a meme. Mm-hmm. So like, I think the medium is different, but the result's the same. I mean, cool.
Yeah, and I think there's, honestly, like, to kind of close this, like, I think there's pros and cons to all of this. Because you're right, like, you might not get a scenario where they listen to a song in an Israeli radio station because they played it again and again. But you do have scenarios where artists whose audiences were conventionally relegated to perhaps their country or their continent have now gone a lot broader. So that means that you have, you know, people in Japan who love The Weeknd. Or that means that reggaeton from like, you know, Latin America is and South America is now blowing up in or like that sound is being represented in a lot of North American pop, right? And so I think ultimately that's a good thing.
Don't forget Apple and Burna Boy killing the stage,
right? Exactly, because I think it just leads to more dynamic and fluid music.
And you know, I'm never gonna, like, I think medium street like streaming services have been liberating, because yeah, now I can't go to Israel and ask the taxi driver what he's playing, but I can go on my phone and listen to like the top 100 chart from Israel and like immediately know what Israeli people are listening to.
What's popping?
Like in the aggregate. What's
popping,
though?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is, right? So yeah, I don't know. I think it's all been good stuff.
All right, folks, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, We'd love it if you could share the podcast with your friends, you know, share it on whatever listening platform you're using, and follow us on social. If you're not already following us, we are at The Cusp Pod on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. We try to publish all the episodes on YouTube as well. Now, we know it's been a while between the last episode and this episode, but the reason why we've had this long gap is honestly because we have been cooking up content. So expect the next couple of weeks to be really busy in terms of us releasing content. We have lots of you know, cool episodes to put out, including some guest interviews that we think are going to be really interesting for you to listen to. So yeah, keep tuning in. Thank you again for your listenership, and have a great week. Take care now. Bye-bye.